This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, it's RÚV English Radio. My name's Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today. We're going to talk about the FKA New Icelanders Association. This is an association of female New Icelanders, as they describe themselves, people who've come to the country and are female and are working in the business space or other creative spaces. And they are putting on an event in a couple of weeks, a fundraising event, where various artists will make contributions of their work, which will be sold in aid of the women's shelter in Reykjavik, which is currently in the process of relocating to a new and a bigger location. I'm in the existing shelter at the moment with Linda, who's going to talk about some of the work that the shelter does and just the cost of moving, the cost of designing and building a new shelter, which is the plan at the moment. You're halfway through that process.
Yeah, we are. And more than that, we are at the finish, like we are finishing the, these are the last big steps that we are taking. So this is just such a great thing that they are doing just to help us finishing this and closing this gap. We've been collecting funds and money for this for some years now, and we have started building the house. And it is very important for us not to really important to own the house before we go there, because it's not, we are not able to be in any debt in that way. So it is very important for us to collect the money before we move. Yeah.
Well, the existing shelter that we're in just now, you can maybe hear some of the noise and the life that there is in this place. Mm-hmm. It's certainly well used, but you could make use of more space, I think.
Yes, definitely. This is like very important. Firstly, because we do not have accessibility for handicapped women. As you can see, when you came in here, there's a lot of stairs. So for handicapped women or children, or just women that are have problems with stairs in general, this is not a good place for that. Mm. So we need this accessibility. Also, we just need more space to work with the children. We are in the children's room right now, but we need more space, and we need space for counseling sessions. We only have one room for that. And then we have counseling sessions for women that are not staying in the shelter, like women that need counseling and then their relatives or, and family. And this is something that we are doing now in the garage. So we need more space for this as well.
Yes. Well, so, as you say, we're in the children's room, or one of the children's room at the moment. It's very colorful. There are books everywhere. There are toys. This feels like a place that a child would feel very comfortable. But I imagine that some of the children that come here will have seen some awful things and been in some terrible situations. So the new shelter, I suppose, it's as much about finding a safe space for the children as anything else.
Yes, that's always our primary goal, that they come here, both women and children, and that they feel safe, and also that they feel at home, that this is their home and they are in charge now. This is their journey. We never try to take the lead. They just do things as they please. Yes. And the children come here many times very afraid. They don't know what's happening. They don't know where they are. And we have a counselor working solely with the children and with the mothers and how to talk to the children and help them feel safe here. And one of the unique things about the Icelandic Women's Shelter is that we run it like a home. We eat together, and we have this living room and these common spaces where we do not talk about violence, and it's just like a regular home, and we have birthdays and so on. And we find this very important because the women and children come from a lot of isolation. Many times they've been isolated in the violence, so this is a big step for them to connect with others.
We're going to talk to one of the artists in our show today who's contributing work to raise funds for the work that you do here at the shelter and the new shelter as well. But when someone comes to the shelter, when someone approaches you and looks at the services that are on offer, they must be in some very desperate situation.
Yes, these are many times women that don't, they have to run or flee their homes due to violence. So they cannot stay in their actual homes because it's not safe for them or their children. What is important for us is always to try to lower the threshold so that, like, we are never full. Like, if a woman needs a shelter, she can come here. If all the beds are occupied, we just find a new bed or we find a mattress or whatever. There's never a waiting list. And if she is not sure, she can always book an interview. And we always have interpreters also if you do not speak English. So this is so important for us to lower the threshold and to get this message across that this is a shelter for every woman and every child that needs to go away from their actual home. And it is not for homeless women, it's for women that are fleeing violence. So if they just need the counseling and they need the space and they need the quiet, because this just takes time to step out of the circle of violence, they should come here all the time, yeah.
About half of the funding comes from the Icelandic state. Mm-hmm. It does feel, doesn't it, that a service as important as this maybe should get more funding mm-hmm. from the state. Is that something that you believe and something that you've fought for?
Yes, it's something that I believe, because we are offering service that is, in fact, something that is mandatory for Iceland as a part of the Istanbul Convention that we have signed, that we should have a shelter for those who need to flee violence. We also have a 24/7 emergency phone that we are running, and all this counseling as well. So, but at the same time, it is like we get half of our funding from the public, like friends of the shelter. What this means is that we have more flexibility and more freedom than many of the shelters in the Nordic countries, for example, that are 100% funded from the government. There they have all kinds of restrictions. For example, they cannot have more than five women per counselor or things like that, which means that you are having waiting lists, while we can always show the flexibility mm-hmm. of helping every woman. So I would like their money, but not to be told what to do.
Sure.
that would be great.
You don't want to grow because you don't want there to be a problem that needs to be dealt with. No one wants there to be this terrible violence against women. Right. Have you noticed that that is a problem that is becoming worse in Iceland?
Not really. This is a problem that has always been in Iceland and everywhere. Like violence in close relationships is something that is nothing new. We see more women stepping out of the violence and seeking help, yes. Mm. But I think this is with more education and more talk about different kinds of violence, that it is not only physical, it can sure. be many kinds of violence.
So people are just seeing the issue now for the first time
yes,
in some cases.
Yes, yeah. and family and co-workers and friends are interfering more, especially after COVID, when we came out with this shout of like, you should step into what is happening around you, because we had women and children more isolated than in the home. So I can see, for example, bosses or co-workers coming and seeking counseling and how to talk to women and how to suggest yes. this. So, but the violence, I don't see it growing. Maybe I can see that it is getting more serious, more like choking or death threats. And of course we have more stalking, like internet stalking, and this is new here. And when we had the internet, of course, that women come here, but they don't get to leave the violence outside. It comes with them through the phone, through the computers, and it's so easy now to trace your every move. So this is something that we are seeing more yes. of.
I think there have been some legal changes around the idea of stalking. It's just become recognised, I think, in Icelandic law as a specific crime for the first time. So mm-hmm. there's maybe some progress being made there.
There is some progress being made, yes. And especially within the police, they are taking more like decisive steps in mm-hmm. domestic violence cases. And this program of keeping the window open, which means that if there's a call of domestic violence, the police goes, but the social worker goes as well. Mm-hmm. So we keep the window open means that we catch them in the act, and we can talk to the woman straight away and offer her counseling and what she wants to do or step out of the violence, because some days later everything has changed. But the court of law and the judges, the juridical system has not been changing as fast as we would want. We still see this difference in if something happens within the home, the sentences are lower than if it would happen out on the street, for example. And this is not something that we would want to see this change, as well as restraining order being taken more seriously yes. and used more.
So there is still that sense that it's a domestic issue, therefore it's not as important as violence that might happen outside of the home. That's disappointing to hear, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah, it is disappointing, and especially in a place where we call this paradise of equality as Iceland should be, that yes, we are still seeing these different approaches. Yeah.
It's interesting you mentioned COVID. I was a radio presenter in the UK, did a phone-in show across the UK 5 days a week for about the last 8 years before coming to Iceland, during all of the COVID period as well. And one of the things that really struck me and surprised me was that a lot of people, myself included, simply hadn't thought about the consequences of abusers and the abused being confined in the same space because of lockdown.
Yeah.
Looking back at that now, it was a really big miss, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, Icelandic government was a bit like more aware of this. So the head of the women's shelter at that time came to one of the public meetings to encourage people to be alert, because we no longer have the schools or the kindergarten workers that are more aware of these things. And also because, like, for example, children, they have made their security system around them. They have a neighbor or a friend that they can go to go out of the home when something is going on, and this all just went away all of a sudden. So yeah, it was a really serious situation.
How do you reach women who might fear the consequences of seeking help?
Right, yeah. We try to have these advertisements or being in media or whenever we can. We try to remind women that we are here and encourage them to contact us. We also try to get this point across that we are outside the system. We are not part of the system. So they do not need, if they are here, this is not in any record, or we don't even need to have their, if they come for counseling sessions, for example, they don't really need to use their own name
or
genital or anything like that. So if they come here to stay in the shelter with their children, Child Protective Services are notified, just let them know that the woman and the children are safe now, so they don't start looking for them somewhere else. But in other terms, this is just a safe place for women, and this is their place. So they, as I said in the beginning, they are in charge what they decide to do. Some of them decide to go back into the home and into the same situation, and we don't agree with all of their decisions, but that doesn't mean that we interfere. We're just always here, and it takes on average 4 to 6 times to get out of this kind of situation, because violence in close relationship is just a really complicated matter. The perpetrator is many times also your lover or your husband or the father of your children, and you have some good times. And also there's the financial violence, and they don't have any financial means. So this is also part of our work, is to connect them with all the help that they can get and in the system.
Is that being recognized more, what you might call emotional violence?
Yeah, it is now. We're starting to talk about it a lot more, this different kind of violence, like sexual violence in a marriage, or financial violence, or stalking. There's so many different types of violence. So it's so important for women and for all of us to know the different signs and how it starts and how it can escalate.
Well, there's some wonderful work being done here. I've no doubt that will continue, and more of it will take place in the new shelter when that is completed. Very quickly, before we talk to one of the artists who's contributing to the fundraising effort, if someone's listening to this, we're going to put links up and also phone numbers as well. Any other advice that you'd want to give to someone who's listening to this conversation and feels that they need some help and doesn't quite know where to start?
Right. I think my first advice would always be, if you are in doubt, just call and just contact us. You can call the number, or you can make an appointment at the website. And if you need an interpreter, there's no problem. But this doesn't mean that you are committing yourself into anything. So you can come for a counseling session just to talk about things, see where you're at, you're in doubt, you're not sure, or whatever, and just see where it leads you. And many women come for many, many counseling sessions before they decide that they want to leave their partner or not. So just, you have nothing to lose, just to have contact. And women of foreign origin many times do not have the same support system in Iceland as others. They do not have their family. So the women's shelter is many times at utmost importance for these women.
And again, if someone's listening to this and for whatever reason they don't have access to the website at the moment, can you just remind us of the phone number and any other links that you'd want to give here?
So our phone number is 561-1205. So they can call that anytime, 561-1205. And we are also on Facebook, where you can message us or find the website, just any way that is best for you. Also, people in the front line know the women's shelter. So if you know some co-worker or social worker or somebody that is helping you, then they can also come with you for an interview. That is also okay.
So that was Linda, to whom we spoke earlier on, at the women's shelter. The show that is taking place with all of this amazing art being sold to raise funds for the new shelter. I'm with one of those artists now. Kulskith joins me. Well, we've joined her in her home. Thank you very much for having us today.
Thank you as well.
I want to hear about the art that you make, and we can maybe talk about some of the artists, some of the other artists as well. But I know that one of the pieces that you've made is of a Pepsi can. And the first thing you did when we came in was get yourself a can of Pepsi. So I'm sensing a theme here.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I am a member of the cult, the Pepsi Max cult in Iceland.
Yes.
I've tried stopping, but it's a love.
Tell me about the work you've made using that can.
Oh my God.
It's got the word sexy instead of Pepsi.
Yeah. The Sexy Max piece is like an oath to my best friend who is studying abroad in Rotterdam. And when we FaceTime, she always opens a can of Pepsi Max, so do I. And we say, let's have a sexy Max.
So let's talk about your art then. You're one of the, I think at the last count, there was something like 26 artists contributing, maybe more by now, in fact. So tell me about your art and what inspires you.
Oh my God, everything, kind of. It's more like you get an idea. Or you get a feeling that you want to do something, you want to paint something, and you just have to start. Mm. Sometimes there's nothing behind it. Sometimes there's, you know, memories or, you know, something very important to you tied behind it. But sometimes it's just a can of Pepsi Max. I mean, you know, it's kind of everything. But for like Hallgerður Langbrók,
describe
she
it.
Is my favorite.
This is a black and white painting or line drawing?
It's a lino print.
Okay.
So it's hand carved and then hand printed.
Right.
Right here in my living room.
And she is a very regal presence in her flowing robes. And behind her, we can see some other faces looking out of what?
That is what you see behind her is essentially her story. You have the bitch slap right there. You have the fire. You have her. When she had a slave steal a loaf of bread from the next town over for her. You have Gunnar's bow, like when he needed a lock of her hair to complete the bow. So yeah, it's her story. And I mean, I feel like she's kind of gets left out as just like this beautiful woman or that kind of woman, dark woman in the corner who was kind of a, you know.
It's her story then that you found inspiring.
Yeah, because, I mean, everything that happens in her story is because of her. She is the main character. She is the moment. She is the icon. So, behind her as well, there are no men. That was made by accident, actually. I didn't figure it out until somebody pointed it out to me, and I was very happy that I left out the men. Hmm. For the first time ever, they don't get a...
they don't get a mention, do they?
No.
Which pieces are you donating?
This is one of the pieces I'm donating. This is, I mean, I spent maybe 2 days just carving her out because as you can see, she's very detailed and like the rope work and everything and her story behind her and her hair. I mean, her gorgeous, beautiful hair. So that is one piece. And then I don't have the other one right here, but I can just dig her out of my folders right there, if that's okay.
Yes, do that. Yeah. Well, I'm fascinated to see the pieces that have been and are being donated for this excellent cause. And indeed, the piece that we've just looked at, the story of her, as this is raising funds for the women's shelter in Reykjavik, it fits, doesn't it?
It fits perfectly. Yeah, that's yeah. It was a no-brainer. It was just, I adore her. Like, I only made 6 versions of her, and they're all different. But I would like to keep all 6, you know? I love her that much. But let me see.
So this is the second piece that's being donated by you to this event that we're going to unveil.
Yeah.
This is very exciting. I feel I'm at the birth of something here.
You're getting a look into my organized chaos.
It's quite well organized. You've got a black folder there with lots of different artworks and various other documents inside.
Where is it? That's the main question.
You make a lot of art.
I mean, yeah, it just kind of... This is one of the new ones I made.
Okay, so here's a blonde lady lying on a sun lounger next to a volcano.
Yeah, erupting volcano.
Is she a crazy tourist or a local?
I thought she was a crazy tourist, but she can't be a local as well.
When those volcanoes were erupting, it wasn't just tourists or visitors to the country that were behaving in... unusual and strange ways.
Roasting marshmallows. Jesus, lighting a cigarette. Oh my God, where is she? Have we lost a print?
She's not been sold already, has she?
No. She is also a print. There she is.
Okay.
There she is.
Now, what are we looking at here?
So this is the first woman burned at the stake here in Iceland. And her name was, I think, Kristín. She was burned in the year 1343, and she was burned alive for writing letters to the demon and giving herself to the demon.
Okay.
Which is quite fitting, as my artist name is Kölskith.
And would that be what we would consider witchcraft then? Because I know that in Iceland, a lot of men were executed, more men than women were executed for witchcraft.
Yeah. I have no clue. I saw her story, you know, and sometimes you want to paint like iconic women, you know, like Joan of Arc, for example. Mm-hmm. But then I thought, like, who are Iceland's iconic women? And maybe those we don't know about or we forget about.
Is she Iceland's Joan of Arc then?
Could be. But more of a satanic one, I think. Because, yes. You know, she, I don't think she was a fan of God.
No.
If you think about it.
fan of a god, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, so I kind of like wanted to like make this one as like a bit of a resistance.
So the two pieces that people can buy, this will be a limited edition, I assume.
Yeah, this is a limited print and numbered. I'm giving print number 2 of this one and print number 2 of that one as well.
Okay, so someone has the chance to acquire something really special here and for a great cause as well. And as we say, we think 26, if not more by now, artists will be contributing. Michelle Bird is someone that's been on Roof English Radio. You don't say no to Michelle Bird, do you?
Oh, no, you don't. She is a driving force of positivity, I would say. I met her for the first time yesterday. I came home and I was in awe and shock because I've never had a person that's not, you know, my closest family or my best friends like thank me or be in awe about my work except for her. And you know, I just bought a painting after her. I mean, it was amazing.
I don't know how much you know of them or not, but the other artists that are also contributing, it seems like there's a real range of really interesting artworks here.
It's a beautiful, beautiful range. I've just like browsed a bit through the other people who are so, so amazing to donate their work. And there's nothing similar. Nothing is similar. Everybody has their own unique viewpoint or methods. And it's just stunning and amazing to be a part of that group. I started selling prints last December. So I am a newcomer to all of this. And this is probably my first show since I graduated from the Reykjavik Art School in 2019. So... I am extremely grateful and in awe and so excited.
I can tell you're very, very excited by this. Now, we should say where this is all happening and when it's happening.
It's at Kirsuperatriet, 25th and the 26th of April.
This is open to anyone who wants to buy some great art for a good cause.
Yeah, everybody who wants to. And I believe they're trying to keep the prices, you know, not star high, essentially. Yes. So the art should be very accessible and for both for people of any age.
Thank you so much for your time today. I'm sure these will fly off the walls.
Let's hope. Thank you as well.
And your plans then for the future? You're just in the foothills of this, I think it's fair to say, with just graduating and beginning your career. Is this somewhere you want to keep working here in Iceland?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I love everything about this country, about this history as well. And I would just want to dig deeper, probably, you know. But I have no idea what the future holds. I can be a very chaotic woman, so you never know in which direction I'm going to go.
This could be a very chaotic country.
Exactly. We fit perfectly together.
Thanks so much for your time today. Best of luck.
Thank you.
It's Roof English Radio. We'll put a link to all of this up on the page accompanying the show. You can get in touch with us by email anytime. We are english@ruv.is.
There's more from Roof English with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. Roof English Radio is daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, Roof.